You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Children of color can internalize society's harmful messages about skin tone at a young age. It's an issue two Delaware moms tackle in their children's book called I Love Your Brown. And Delaware Public Media's Sophia Schmidt sat down with those moms this week to discuss the book and the issue.
Atiyah Chase is a blogger and teaching specialist in the Colonial School District, and Danaya Jacobs is a social entrepreneur, blogger, and founder of the nonprofit Mom and Me, Inc. They're both moms and co-authors of the children's book, I Love Your Brown. This book is a poem. It's sort of in the form of a letter from a mother to a daughter. So I was wondering if you could start us off by reading a little bit. Can you start with, although challenges will come?
Absolutely. It says, although challenges will come, trust that your purpose will outweigh any bad day. There will be plenty of messages that tell you that you can't. Avoid them. Ignore them. They're only distractions.
Remember, your biggest competition is you. It is not the brown girl standing next to you. Practice being your sister's keeper, not just for brown girls, but for all girls.
So what prompted you to write this book?
Well, my daughter, Bella, at the time was 3 years old when the idea came. We were reading a book. It was some random book that we were reading in her room while we were cleaning up. And her hand fell on top of mine. And she immediately noticed the difference. And I assume that she noticed the difference because she said, Mommy, I want to be peach like you. And so as a mother, it, you know, breaks your heart that, you know, you're realizing that this kid is having some issues here, apparently with skin color. And I think about how we had her in lots of activities. She was in swimming and soccer and dance, and she went to preschool at the time, and there were not many kids in her class that looked like her. So she is a little chocolate fudgy little girl, and so she didn't see other chocolate fudgy girls in her classroom. And when she said she wanted to be peach, it broke my heart. And the only thing that I could come up with, I mustered up all of the wisdom that a mother has in that moment, and all I could say was, Bella, I love your brown. And so that just immediately stuck with me, and I enlisted the help of my good friend Danaya to help me, because I knew that there were other brown girls in the world that were like Bella who were having issues with their skin color.
So I love when Atiyah talks and she shares her side of things and how we kind of met in the middle. I think I was inspired by my daughter's grit at the time. She was doing gymnastics, level one competitive gymnastics, which is cartwheels at the most. But it's on a beam, and I just remember being so inspired by her grit and her ability to fearlessly flip on beams that I would be afraid to walk on. So that evening from one of her competitions where she did extremely well, we went home. If you've ever been to a gymnastics competition, you know they're super long, like tons of hours. So I went home and I went to sleep naturally and woke up in the middle of the night with a poem. And I hadn't written in years, but I remember feeling like this poem was what Atiyah was asking me to work with her on. Like this was the project that we would create together.
So I know both of you have worked with girls beyond your own families. And I'm wondering if this phenomenon of little girls feeling insecure about their skin tone or other aspects of themselves, is this something you see a lot?
After having a daughter and experiencing this with her, I would say that I am more aware and more conscious of it. I can't say that it's something that I thought about because I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I'm, you know, a little lighter. So I never got, like, comments about, you know, me being dark. But I did get comments about, oh, you must have, like, Puerto Rican in your family because my hair is curly. Or you might have Indian in your family.
You don't have Puerto Rican in your family?
No, I don't have. Oh, okay. Not that I know of. So I'm more conscious of it now because I have this kid that's experiencing this in school.
I can completely relate to Atiyah's experience of not necessarily being of a darker hue. And so I definitely had that experience. But when I first started my work in girl work, which is the only way I can explain it, it was inspired by things that I would see in the media, For college, I decided that I was going to study fashion marketing. So I just became intrigued again with this whole idea of what's influencing today's generation. I remember having a girlfriend who was equally interested in fashion as I was. And I couldn't have been more than 18 maybe at the time. And she and I was on a train riding into New York City. And she says to me while looking at this magazine together, "Danae, if you could be any white girl, who would you be?" And that always stuck with me. It always resonated with me. And whenever I would do girl work, I would speak about that moment on the train with my friend. And that, I think, was my first real moment when I realized that her experience as a black woman was a little bit different than mine. That she actually, when she thought of fashion and what was high fashion, she immediately thought of white women. And when she thought of ratchet, for lack of better words, and streetwear, she immediately thought of fashion like that being appropriate for black women. So for her, wanting to be a white woman was a thing because that was who was wearing the couture gowns. Mm-hmm. So that was really probably my first introduction to being aware that there was something happening, some conversation that was happening internally with people and in a bigger scheme with the media influencing what people thought about their color.
We've been talking a lot about messaging around physical appearance. When I read the book, I got that there are other messages, too, you want to reaffirm your daughters about. Talk to me about some of those.
Oh, yeah. I love books that talk about color as far as being a crayon. There's books that talk about, like, I can't even remember the name of it, but it talks about being in the crayon box and that everybody has these differences. So one thing that I know that I want Bella and other girls and boys in the world to remember is that it's, you know, you're unique and you stand out in the crayon box. The world is huge. There's so many colors. There's so many abilities. And you're going to stand out in that crayon box, and so are other people. And just embrace the people that are around you. Learn to love who you are. And if you can learn to love who you are, you have no problem loving other people. Mm-hmm. So it does build girls up from that aspect as being, you know, looking at yourself on the inside, looking at what you possess as far as your abilities, your skills, those things that interest you. And that is ultimately what is going to make you a successful person in the world. And it's going to make you somebody that's relatable and approachable as a person. So I always want girls to feel like, you know, if I love me, then I can love you because I love me first.
Danae.
So the line I read to trust that your biggest competition is you is probably one of my favorite. I think what's hard for me sometimes with the book, if I'm completely honest, is as I read it, every time we have an opportunity to read it, it reminds me of words that I have to eat even as an adult. And not just for my own life, but watching and living vicariously through Jada's experiences. So she's still competing in gymnastics, and there's times when she competes where I have to say those words to me. Her biggest competition is her. Her biggest competition is her. It's not all these girls that's here competing for the same one gold medal. Those messages, I think, are so important because as women, it's so easy to compete.
I want to talk about the images in the book a little bit. You have a bunch of models that are young brown girls, and you have them dressed up as different, I guess I would say, occupations or doing different things. So talk to me about the philosophy behind that, how you went about creating those images.
This is probably the most fun part of the project.
Yes. I think at the very least, we wanted it to be representation. Oftentimes in media, and it's becoming better, you don't see brown people or brown girls, you know, owning the boardroom, right? Or you don't see women, period, owning the boardroom. You know, we've just gotten a little bit better with that, you know, more comfortable. So that idea of representation, we wanted that to stand out. Like, you can be in the boardroom. You can wear a construction hat. I think I love
that's one of my favorite
that
too.
One because it just defies the odds. We wanted to just stir that kind of just spirit amongst girls. Like, I really can be anything if I choose to be anything.
Mm-hmm. Diversity was so big for us when creating this book. And diversity, not just with brown girls. We actually at one point, especially for the picture where it says not just your sisters, not just for brown girls, but for all girls. What I love about the models in the book is that we weren't looking for models, and every single girl that applied, we accepted. And then I think what was also really fun is how quickly we piece it all together. The wardrobe that the kids are wearing are literally pieces from then Jada and Bella's closet. We had the construction hat was a dad whose daughter was participating, happened to be a construction worker, and happened to have a construction hat in his truck when we were shooting the book. It was awesome. It was a great time.
Yeah, thank you for describing that. There are two phrases in the book that I want to ask you about why you included them. Mm-hmm. One is, your light comes from a deep place, from your mother's mother's mother. The other is, baby, set ablaze to the path that has been laid.
I'll take the first one. You want to do the second one? Okay.
I think the reason I pair them together is they speak to kind of a history. So I'd like to hear about that.
So this is another favorite of mine. And this line spoke to me in particular when I thought about all the women that came before me and came before Tia. We always talk about our grandmothers. But my mom had a really close relationship with her great grandmother, who was Tilly Kay. And my great-grandmother raised my mother, Bernice, and then my grandmother, Beverly, then my mom, then me, then Jada. And we've all had daughters first and then sons. So when I think about the women in my family, the ones I didn't even know, my mom tells such good stories of my great-grandmother, Tilly Kay, that I feel like I know Tilly Kay. I oftentimes say that it's the prayers that Tilly Kay prayed for me that probably got me out of some trouble I don't even know about before she met me, but I don't remember her. So when I think about your beauty being uncompromising and it coming from your mother's mother's mother, I think about this place of strength and grit and wisdom of the women that came before us and how now that wisdom through storytelling from our mothers and our grandmothers is passed down to our daughters. I want little girls to know that there are women that came before them that had light and that light that they see inside of them is beaming from them. I think my last point, now being pregnant, that I think was super cool. Once a baby is growing, if it's a girl, she has all her eggs that she's going to have for a lifetime while she's inside of your womb. So your grandmother technically carried you. So my mother technically carried my children because I had all my eggs when I was still inside her womb. And when I think about that, just how interconnected we are as women and how amazing that is that we carry our grandchildren before that even happens, all of that kind of comes together for me.
Wow. Baby set ablaze to the path that has been laid. I mean, it takes me immediately back to ancestors. Like, the book pays homage to that. Like, we are a creative, brilliant, wonderful people, right? And so when you set ablaze that path, you're just taking the baton from the person that's before you and you're just running to carry it out. It also speaks to do the right thing now because there's a path that somebody else is going to have to follow that comes after you. So just making sure that you take the baton and you run with it with the grace and the grit and you get rid of the insecurities that you have and don't get distracted by them.
I Love Your Brown is available on Amazon and the Barnes & Noble at the Christiana Mall. Atiyah Chase and Danaya Jacobs, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Atiyah Chase, Danaya Jacobs, and our Sophia Schmidt for their time on The Green this week. Next, we have more on an educational program that's celebrating 10 years of explaining Odessa's connection to the Underground Railroad. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.